Good evening. What a blessing to be in God's house. And I consider you as all friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord. I know some of you better than others. That one row back there from Hayes, I appreciate working and associating with those brothers and sisters over the years. And I guess I've probably known my nephew as long as he's alive, put it that way. And so I appreciate him and his desire to walk in God's ways and have his family walk in God's ways. The title of the message is Communicating Love. How do you communicate? Do you use only words? Or to use other ways to communicate, such as motions, facial expressions, maybe even a smile. That speaks volumes. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has created us to communicate. Primarily, we are created to communicate with our Maker. As believers, prayer is the primary source and method of communicating with God. He communicates to us through His Word, through the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God's supreme communication, though, was when He came in person. Emmanuel, God with us. And that divine communication is indicated by the word assigned to Jesus in John chapter 1. If you'd like to turn to that chapter, I'm going to read a few verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, familiar scripture. But I wanted you to pick out the word spelled W-O-R-D, and what it means here. It means communication. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God also created us to communicate with one another. And in this message, we will consider some biblical principles with practical applications for communicating with one another. Now, my observation so far today is that you do not have any trouble with that, communicating. The fellowship here was great around the meal, and since then I have enjoyed the conversations throughout the day. But I want to let you know that I am an introvert. And growing up as a child, very bashful and backward. And I honestly wondered how I would ever function in the adult world. But you know, God has a way of taking our weaknesses and turning that all around and using them for His purposes and His glory. Because what I do today involves communication. It's my occupation. It's my ministry. And as I think back, after high school, went on to college, and I needed to communicate to survive in college. and then worked approximately 10 years in the family grocery store, waiting on the public. Dealing with the public involves communication. To get a wife, I needed to communicate, obviously, even though that was a nerve-wracking first adventure. Maybe none of you had that experience, but I did. And then 1982, our church at Pleasant Hill started a Christian school. I was asked to be the teacher, principal, one of the teachers. And just a month after that, I was called to the ministry at Pleasant Hill. And so God took my weakness, and he is using it today in ways that I never would have imagined as a young person. Listening, you know, is also a necessary element of communication. We need to receive, or others have to receive what we are sharing in order that for there to be communication. Jesus prayed in John 17. It's a rich prayer. But in verse 8, he said, "For I have given unto them the words, W-O-R-D-S, which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Notice that the words were spoken and received. And so tucked away in this verse, we have a definition of communication. Communication is the process of sharing yourself, both verbally and non-verbally, in such a way that the other person both receives and understands what you've said. With no listening, there is no communication. And so let's consider, first of all, number one, qualities of communication. Communication is so much a part of our makeup and purpose. There are hundreds of verses dealing with this topic. Communication is closely connected with love. And if one speaks with love, then that covers all other aspects of proper communication. I'd like to share with you two verses that, if practiced faithfully, will provide a foundation that incorporates much of what the Bible says about speech. Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." You know, truth does not have one molecule of deceit or hypocrisy. Jesus Christ is truth. And you know, misleading statements that are technically correct are outside the realm of truth if they're misleading. And I have told the students already that a lie can be told by simply remaining silent. Truth is a description of the things or of things as they really are. Truth is reality. When spoken with love, that type of communication emulates Christ and demonstrates that we are maturing in him. A companion verse is found in Colossians 4:6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." And so, to put this in paraphrase, use kind, courteous, encouraging speech at all times. and to all people. Now, that takes love from above, and it will attract rather than repel. You know, as salt enhances flavor, so believers should speak with language that is tasteful, refreshing, energy-giving. Both of the qualities mentioned in these verses, grace and truth. Let your speech be always with grace. Speak the truth in love. Are used to describe Christ, the Word made flesh, in John chapter 1. Full of grace and truth. The Word, capital W. Our communication, like Christ, should always be with grace, lovingly spoken in truth. Now, to faithfully accomplish that assignment would be life-changing. It should be our goal, even though we fall short. Just ask my wife. And we do it time and time again. At least I do. You see, words come from the message center of one's brain, but they're often assigned meaning based upon agape love in our heart or lack of agape love. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So those were some qualities of communication. We'd like to look at the power of communication. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I'd like to tell you about an experiment. A medieval monarch, Frederick II, holy emperor of Rome, from 1194 to 1250 AD. And this experiment was conducted to withhold all communication from a number of babies, to see if they would be prompted naturally to speak a certain language when they grew old enough to enunciate words. And there's actually written documentation that I have here. It's hard to understand because it's in Old English, but I'll summarize it. So Frederick encouraged foster mothers and nurses to take care of the needs of the children, to bathe and wash and give them food, but in no way to speak with them or in any way try to communicate with them. And he wanted to know from that experiment if they would speak Hebrew or Greek, or Latin, or Arabic, or perhaps the tongue of their parents of whom they had been born. But as it turned out, the children needed the gestures, the kind talk, the kindness of and gladness of the countenance, and baby talk that sometimes we do to babies. What happened? The babies all died. They needed express love in the form of communication to develop properly. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Communication is powerful. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image, and communication is very much a part of God's nature. That communication changed the course of all history and changed lives forever, giving them eternal life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do we fully understand the impact and the power of our words? Just one sentence, thoughtlessly spoken in disgust and anger, has the power to influence a child negatively for the rest of their lives. On the other hand, an encouraging word can motivate and build for a lifetime of success. In that sense, what we speak or what we communicate can be either a curse or a blessing. James talks about that in the scripture found in chapter 3 of his book, verses 8 to 10. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, meaning it kills. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. It's that serious. A few verses later, James says, bitterness, envy, and strife are what? Devilish. So we can't kid ourselves and lie against the truth. Let's look thirdly at the components of communication. Our words are so important that once they're spoken, they're recorded. It's like using a permanent marker on a whiteboard. I did that once at school. Somehow, a permanent marker got in the tray. I probably put it there. And I was writing something on the board and wanted to go on and use the eraser, and those words stayed. There was no taking them off with the eraser until we had to use some chemicals to get that permanent marker off the whiteboard. And in that sense, what we speak stays. Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Words are further given meaning by the tone of our voice and our body language. Based on some well-known research by Dr. Albert Mehrabian, this is what he said, according to a study, content or actual words comprise 7% of total communication. Tone of voice, 38% of total communication, and body language and facial expressions, 55% of total communication. Now, it was never his intent to narrow the experiment down to generalizing it for all communication. He dealt with nonverbal messages that had more to do with emotions and attitudes and expressing those feelings. But nonetheless, it is very important to realize that we communicate through our tone of voice and our body language and our facial expressions. I know that you can give different interpretations or received different interpretations by saying the same words but using a different tone of voice. For example, I tried something out on our son's dog named Cuddles when my son was still at home and the dog was too. We don't have a dog in the house right now. And some people like pets, that's fine. We raised 8 children and that was enough for us. But I spoke nice words to Cuddles. They were kind words. But I had a mean tone of voice when I did it. And his ears flattened, his tail went between his legs, and his eyes were downcast, and he headed into the bedroom, his refuge, Nathaniel's bedroom. That was his dog. And so then I spoke some really mean words with a kind tone of voice. And his tail started wagging, and his ears went up, and his eyes were alert and expectant. Could I try it on you? Good morning. I'm going to say good morning in different tones of voice. What does that mean? It's great to be alive, right? Good morning. Are you okay? Good morning. Maybe you say that to someone who's hurting or in need of encouragement. Good morning! Was I angry? Sounded like it. Good morning. Don't bother me yet. I haven't had my coffee yet. And what about this? Good morning. You know, in this illustration, people will listen more to your tone of voice than your actual words. Likewise, a very important factor is our body language. Are we attentive? What do our eyes say? Are we actively showing interest when listening, for example? If any of the above contradict each other, we will tend not to be taken seriously. There are times when someone cannot get a full understanding and complete interpretation of a person's statements by reading just words or hearing the words. Facial expressions and body language do make a difference in some cases. When our oldest daughter, Dina, was around 4 or 5, we were on our way to church. I was driving, and she was in the back seat, unable to see my face. I made a statement, and I don't even remember what it was anymore. But it could have been taken valid or invalid. In reality, I was just kidding. But Dina didn't know that. She couldn't see my face. Anyway, after I made the statement, Dina said, "Daddy, turn around so that I can see your face." So she, in her childhood innocence, was illustrating an important aspect of communication. Was there a twinkle in my eye? A slight smile on my face, or did I have a serious expression? Facial expressions and body language are illustrated in the Bible. Proverbs 25:23, "The north wind driveth away wind, so doth an angry countenance and a backbiting tongue." That verse points to the facial expression and possibly even tone of voice. Matthew 6:22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body be full of light. Our eyes, many times, speak volumes. There can be darkness to someone who is involved in the dark underworld. There can be light and glow for someone who is in communion with their Heavenly Father. And there can be fire seen in the eye for someone who is angry. Mark 15:29, and they passed by, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days." In this instance, body language, wagging the head, intensified the scornful words. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So our positive communication with others can encourage and strengthen and inspire to the extent that other people reflect the change in their facial countenances. Let's consider the methods of communication. There are various ways we can communicate one with another, and those options have increased dramatically in the last 20 to 30 years. Letters, notes, landline phone calls, and verbal face-to-face conversation has now expanded to email, texting, social media, and probably we could go on. My iPhone has an app, turn that thing off, that is called FaceTime, enabling people to both talk and see each other at the same time. Skype, Zoom, other platforms use the same verbal plus visual communication. When I was in elementary school, the teacher said that someday people would not only talk to someone on the phone, they would be able to see them as well. To be honest, I did not believe that. But I lived to see that come to fruition. Take all the communication options, and we can condense them into 3 general categories. Written words only. Verbal voice only. And then face-to-face, which is verbal and visual combined. 2 John 1:2 mentions 2 of these methods. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Obviously, they didn't have email back then, and so paper and ink could include today digital communication. We live in a world where the sound of a voice and the smile on the face over a cup of coffee is replaced with likes on social media. And that does not produce joy that is full. There are times when face-to-face communication is necessary and exceeds the benefit of written or digital communication. One another friendship and communication in the body of Christ requires face-to-face communication on many occasions. You know, Exodus 33:11, we read that the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. How does this apply specifically to our communication? I might say, abbreviated texting is great for brief notifications or information that is limited in nature to things such as, time of the meeting is 7 o'clock, could you give me a call? I'm praying for you. Hang in there. God's grace is sufficient. I was encouraged by your lesson. What is Bill's phone number? You can share verses and send them to someone on a weekly basis. Families can keep informed of special occasions and happenings and stay in touch on a daily basis. Just today, we got a copy of a letter sent by a recipient of my grandson's lungs. Joshua Heisey died in a farm accident trying to get out of a cattle trailer. And the wind blew the back door shut, no latches on the inside. He crawled up, 6-inch opening, stuck his head through that to get the latch, and his grandpa found him, the other grandpa, too late. Brought him down, did CPR. They even got a heartbeat and was in the hospital at Hershey, but he was brain dead. So that letter, that communication, meant something to us, and it was significant. You know, email is very convenient, and that letter, by the way, came across on our family. What's it called, Jane? Messenger. There we go. Family messenger. Email is very convenient for longer communication, attaching documents, sending out agendas, announcements, sharing editing notes. It's a way of getting out a lot of information quickly. Handwritten letter, a card sent by snail mail can be in great encouragement. How about in the verbal arena? Phone call is better than email or texting. There needs to be dialogue, an extensive back and forth conversation to come to a conclusion. I found that out. It can be kind of frustrating to try to come to a conclusion with a lot of questions needed to be asked using texting. But I personally highly encourage face-to-face communication for sensitive or confidential information. I've seen what happens when it's used improperly. Resolving conflicts or dealing with offenses, if at all possible, should be done face to face. You know, there's sometimes the distance factor or time factor, but never resolve conflicts by a letter, texting, email, or social media. Misunderstandings, misinterpretations are most likely to take place, further complicating the issue. Tone of voice and facial expressions are lacking in that type of communication. It's like walking on quicksand and expecting to establish a firm foundation. Not possible. Furthermore, words and statements become permanent and are documented when you put them in print. And they very well may come back to haunt and bite many times. You know, with email, the forward and reply clicks can be disastrous if someone either intentionally, and I've had this happen, taught me a lesson, or unintentionally, clicks the mouse, and the information is broadcast afar, or the wrong person is notified and devastated. In addition, social media becomes a den of iniquity if used to vent offenses and bitterness. Did you know that face-to-face communication is commanded in the Bible for settling offenses? What's the word go mean? It's a physical relocation where a person walks or travels in some manner. If I go out this evening to the car, I relocate from this position to the parking lot. Both scriptures giving steps of reconciliation for the offender and the offended include going and communicating on a one-to-one basis. Matthew 5, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. And then there's advice given to the offended. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Matthew 18, 15. It's very unwise to use texting, email, or social media to resolve offenses. Go. Fifthly, misunderstandings in communication. Many problems in our relationships grow out of miscommunication. I'm going to give you one example that I shared with Japheth today. Our son, when he was smaller, it was reported to me by a brother in the church that my son called him a goat head. I wouldn't have put it past him due to some other things that happened on occasion, but I talked to my son and he said he didn't do that. And I told him, well, it was reported to me, you're going to have to go and ask forgiveness to get this cleared up. And as it turned out, they were both at the drinking fountain at church. And my son wanted to be polite, and he said to this other brother, go ahead. That was a misunderstanding. And there was an offense because of it until it was explained and cleared up. And failure to communicate love, truth, and relevance often leads to alienation. Many people, through miscommunication, drift into a state of indifference, bitterness, and I've seen that with those in the body of Christ. I believe this. A high percentage of offenses and hurts could be resolved simply by communication. And going back to the brother or sister for clarification. So often, offenses come from a lack of proper communication or simply scrambled signals. A stepfather, wanting to get close to his son, took him on a fishing trip. And the boy hated it but didn't know how to tell his stepfather directly. For some reason, he didn't like the fish. So he wrote him a note saying he wanted to go home. And the man looked at it, stuck it in his pocket. The fishing trip continued for 4 days. When they finally returned home, the boy shared his frustration with his mother and told her that his father paid no attention to his note about him not enjoying fishing. And the mother said to him, "Son, your father can't read." Good communication occurs not only when we know what we want to say, but we make sure the other person understands and receives what we say. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Our physical bodies are a model. You know, there is a constant communication between the head and the rest of the body. If my one foot hurts, the other foot takes more weight. If there is an infection in the rest of my body, or in one part of my body, the rest of the body feels it. If my hand goes numb and isn't communicating with the nervous system, I do something about it. Communication. We need that desperately to be in love within the body of Christ and with everyone we come in contact with to share the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bless this congregation with a desire. It's from Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy faith may be effectual. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that even now we can come into the throne room, invited there, even boldly we're to enter because of what Jesus has done for us. And we're thankful that we have an intercessor, Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And we're thankful, Lord, that we serve a just, holy, and righteous God who is omnipotent and in control in a world that is out of control. And we know you are working your plan, a plan that has been intact for the ages, that your kingdom will come. Father, as we go forth, we realize that looking back, we have failed so many times. Forgive us. May our words demonstrate that we have been with Jesus. And may we emulate his grace and his truth in our communication. Father, there's many needs in this body, in families and individuals we know. And just tonight, we want to lift up those who were kidnapped in Haiti. For Ray and Cheryl Noecker and their children and the others, Lord, we don't understand, but we know that you are in control. And we turn it over to you and ask that you would do mighty work to show your honor and glory. Father, for our country and those in places of authority, we pray. We know, Lord, that there's in many minds deception, a sign of the end times, And we pray, Lord, that we would not be deceived, that we would focus on your word as the ultimate truth. Guide us, direct us, and we'll give you the honor and the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you for being here.